Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, please. I have a thought on my heart this morning that I trust will be a blessing. Philippians chapter number 4. I know that on Wednesday night, not long after I came to the church, we taught or preached all the way through the book of Philippians. But this morning, it's in my heart. It was in my heart early this morning as I looked at it to return to a thought. And it's my prayer that I can and be a blessing today. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in verse number 1, said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." Let me just say this. Sounds to me like Paul loved the church. Think about the language there. "My brethren, dearly beloved, and then longed for." In another place, the apostle would say, "Because I have you in my heart." The Bible said, "My joy, my crown." He said, "So stand fast in the Lord." And he kind of repeats it, "My dearly beloved." I beseech you, by the way, that reminds me of a phrase that Brother J. Vernon McGee used a lot in his preaching. If you've ever heard his radio broadcast, he would say "beloved" a lot, wouldn't he, as he addressed the church of the living Lord. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Boy, every once in a while we just need to stop and remember where our names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse number 4 is where I want to pick up the thought today and talk about rejoicing in the Lord always. The Word of God said, again, I say rejoice. I'll say some things about it. We'll get right into the Scripture, and we'll be looking at several different things in the chapter. Please pray with me. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. We do love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school lesson today, for the songs that have spoken so sweetly to our hearts. Lord, I'm glad for hymns and spiritual songs and psalms that make melody in our heart this day. Father, today I pray that now the Word of God, as we address it, would find a special place in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, that each visitor would be made welcome by the Spirit of God as well as the saints of God in this service. And may you speak to every heart. Lord, there are those that perhaps, Lord, need a closer walk. Those, Lord, that maybe have never known what it is to walk in the garden alone. They've never known you as Savior. And Lord, I pray that today you might speak to their heart through the precious Holy Spirit. Do your office work, Lord, and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to say just a couple of things by way of introduction. I really got to be mindful of the time today for several reasons, but just a couple of things by way of introduction. Number one, this verse is a tall order. I want you to think about it. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And yet Paul comes along and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Yeah. And again, I say rejoice. I said it's a tall order to rejoice in the Lord always. Job knew what the trials were. But let me say this. So did the man who wrote this. You can go over and read about him being shipwrecked, read about him being beaten, read about him being stoned and left outside the city for dead. You can read about the trials and the tribulations. You remember when Paul, when it was first announced to him that he would be in the ministry, it was announced that you're going to suffer. I mean, the very first thing, the words he heard from God after he was saved is, "You're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles and you are going to suffer." Amen. And yet he approached that willingly. He approached that and comes to a place here in Philippians where he's writing to the church. In other words, I don't believe Paul is writing like a TV evangelist. that's got rings on every finger that's worth $10,000 a finger. He knew what it was to suffer. But I tell you, he knew what it was to rejoice in the Lord. And I say a couple things. Number one, it's a tall order. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse number 7 with me just a moment. Deuteronomy just number, chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible said there, "And there shall ye eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." How many can say the Lord's blessed us this morning? The book of Thessalonians said, rejoice evermore. Just two words. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. But I'm not standing here this morning in some kind of a fairy tale land, but I'm saying it is a tall order. Amen. And the flesh knows not how to fulfill this order. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord. Always. So it's a tall order. Secondly, it's impossible without the Lord. There's no way you can, no way that this verse can become a vital part of your life apart from a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I have a question. Would the Lord God of heaven instruct his people to do something that they were unable to do? Would God do that? Would God tell us to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. If it was an absolute impossibility, the answer to that is no. It's impossible without him. But later in the Word of God, we find that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And so just by way of introduction, I wanted to say those things. It is a tall order. It's impossible without the Lord. And then the answer to that question is no. Would the Lord instruct his people to do something that they were unable to do? Let me give you some things this morning. I think first of all, we ought to rejoice in the Lord because of his people. The Word of God said here in verse number 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for," I want to just say this. He said, "Stand fast in the Lord." We see when we look at God's people, there are people that are to stand together. The Word of God and the Spirit of God is the glue that holds God's people together. That is the common denominator. And then we're supposed to be people not only that stand together, but people that are in the same mind. He said in verse number 2, "I beseech Eudes and Syntyche that they be of the same mind," here it is, "in the Lord." You see, in verse number 8, we have a little clue as to how that's possible. In verse number 8, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," here he says, "think on these things." The psalmist in Psalm chapter number 1 said he meditated in the Word of God day and night, in the law of the Lord. He meditated in it. And so the Scripture is what keeps the saints of God in one mind and one accord. You remember the book of Acts. The Bible said, "With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." And I'll say this, the same thing that saved them in the book of Acts from this untoward generation is the same thing that'll save you and I from this untoward generation. That is the Word of God. In verse 41, the Bible said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now watch verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly." We like that where the Bible said they were in one mind and one accord. But how did it happen? "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." They prayed together. They studied together. The Word of God was their focus. And that's what brings God's people together. I just want to say this. In Psalm chapter number 119, read it with me just a moment. A couple of verses came to my mind this morning during Sunday school. The Bible said, "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart." Read Jeremiah chapter 15 with me for just a minute. Thy testimony in Jeremiah chapter 15, speaking of the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. Look at this with me. The Bible said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. There was a time when Jeremiah got very discouraged, very despondent. He got very depressed. And what was it that brought him out of it? The Word of God said that God's Word was in his bones. It was in his heart. It was like a fire. Amen. And it brought him up out of that place. I want to say something this morning, a statement God give me. Can we be rejoicing full time if we're not in the Word full time? Listen, we can't be rejoicing full time when we're in the Word of God part time. Somebody help me right there. It's the Word of God that's going to bring about an ability to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When he said, think on these things. When you talk about the Word of God there in Philippians where it said, whatsoever things are true, the Word of God. Whatsoever things are honest, the Word of God. Whatsoever things are just, the Word of God. Whatsoever things are pure, the Word of God. Whatsoever things are lovely, the Word of God. Whatsoever things are of good report, the Word of God. There may be other things that fit these phrases, but I will say this, the Word of God will always fit these phrases. And the Bible said, think on these things. I believe as he thinketh in his heart, the Word of God said, so is he. Amen. And so we need to rejoice because of God's people. They stand together. They have the same mind together. And then people that serve together. In verse number 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and other my fellow laborers. A yoke fellow. Now that means there's two fellows in the same yoke. But there's somebody else in that yoke if you study the gospels. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When you get to a God's people in the yoke with Jesus, something's about to get done for the glory of God. That's why he said where two of you would agree on anything. He said it'll be granted, amen, of your Father which is in heaven. And so we need to serve together. We need to rejoice because of God's people. Aren't you glad this morning? The songwriter said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I want to rejoice, amen, in God's people this morning. Rejoice because of his people. Secondly, we ought to rejoice because of his promise. Notice what the Bible said here in verse number 5. The Bible said, let your moderation be known unto all men. It said, the Lord is at hand. How many believes that? Honey, I tell you what, my wife read to me some things this morning where it looks like there's some people already raising up trying to impeach the president. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, listen to me carefully, listen to me carefully. Honey, it don't look like it's going to get a whole lot better. Looks like it's going to get a whole lot worse. But I tell you what, the Bible's telling us the King is coming. The King is coming. It didn't tell us to rejoice in what's going on in the world, but to rejoice in the Lord. And we have the promise that the King is coming. Amen. I got to thinking early this morning, Brother Brian. Got a graveside service this afternoon. I got to thinking about standing there. All of a sudden, Brother Earl sits up. Sister Pauline comes up. And we all go up. You say, preacher, that can't be real in your heart. It's just as real as the shoes I put on this morning. Jesus is coming. We ought to rejoice in the promise of his coming. Hallelujah. We ought to rejoice because of his people. We ought to rejoice because of his promise. Look at John chapter 16 with me just a moment. I'm trying to hurry. I probably shouldn't do that. But I feel like I need to. I want to cover this ground this morning. God helping me. In John chapter number 16, Jesus is fixing to die on the cross. Y'all know what fixing to does means, don't you? If you're preaching up north and you make a statement like that, they look at you cross-eyed. Jesus is fixing to die on the cross. Look what the Bible said in verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, he says, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Jesus is saying, listen, something's going to happen in a few days. The world's going to be tickled to death about it. I'm going to die. And they're going to rejoice. You're going to weep. Aren't you glad though the Bible said weeping endureth for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Watch what the Word of God said here concerning his promise. He said you will rejoice. They'll rejoice and you'll be sorrowful. He said, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into this world. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you, honey, listen to me. The moment he comes, the moment you and I are changed, we'll remember no more the sorrows of this world. We'll remember no more the pain. We'll remember no more the heartache. But I tell you, God is saying right now, by faith, on the journey, on the way, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Watch what the Bible said. Look at verse 22. And you therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Boy, take that and put that down in your heart. The Lord Jesus said, Brother Rose, I'll see you again. He said, Sister Rose, I'll see you again. He said, Brother Eddie, I'll see you again. He said, Brother Steve, guess what? I'll see you again. Brother Ralph, he said, I'll see you again. Amen. Remember when my papa was going to heaven, my grandpa, I remember kissing him on the forehead. Very, very sick, laying in the hospital in Abingdon, Virginia. I said, Grandpa, I'll see you later. My granny was sitting at the bottom of the bed and her shoulders, she was a large lady, her shoulders, she just started her shoulders, she was just trembling. She said, Rick, honey, aren't you going to tell him goodbye? I said, Granny, I don't have to. I know where he's headed. I know where I'm headed. And I'll see him again one day soon. Amen. Praise God for the promise of his coming. There the Bible said in Acts chapter number 1, Jesus said, well, let me finish this verse. He said, I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, this is not talking about the coming of the Lord. This is talking about the resurrection of the Lord. Jesus is going to get up, and he said, hey, when I get up, their rejoicing is going to stop, but yours is just going to begin. You'll be able to have a joy that this world don't know anything about, and no man can take it from you. There he was in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. The Bible said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you see going to heaven shall so return in like manner. Thank God he's coming. Thank God Paul said rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because of the promise, amen, that he left us, that he is coming. Then the promise of his strength. Not only his coming for his own, but the promise of his strength given to his own. The Bible said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll tell you today, the promise of God's word is real. God said he promised. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. And thank God we can do all things through Christ. Listen, we ought to rejoice because of his people. Do I have an amen there? We ought to rejoice because of his promise. Then number 3, we ought to rejoice because of his peace. I'm going to give you something today. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 6. And get back over here to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 6, the Bible said, be careful for nothing. Or chapter number 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the word of God said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, what about this peace? Let me give you several things the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number 1, this peace comes through trusting. The word of God said here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word of God in the book of James said to pray in faith. The word of God said to ask God, to talk to him, to pray to him in faith. So this peace comes by trusting. The Bible said that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's Jeremiah 26:3. This peace comes through trusting the Lord. This peace comes through thanksgiving. Let me just get you to try this sometime. You get down in the dumps. You get a little bit despondent. You get a little bit depressed. You said, preacher, you act like you know what you're talking about. If you think this preacher don't get down in the dumps, you think this preacher don't get depressed sometimes, you think this preacher just don't want to crawl up in the corner sometimes, you're crazy. But I tell you one thing, you get that old book out, you get down on one knee and begin to thank him for your family, begin to thank him for your health, begin to thank him for your food, begin to thank him for a roof over your head, begin to thank him for a home in heaven, begin to thank him for a Calvary. It won't be long, honey. Listen, that old junk will have to go out the window, and we'll come up from there rejoicing in the things of God. us to rejoice. I believe it's music to his ears when somebody just says, praise the Lord. Old Brother Pete over there at Oak Glen, he got a special way of saying it. He'll say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just do that in his honor. That's what we ought to be walking around saying, praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. He's worthy. I tell you today, we ought to rejoice. It comes through trusting. Peace comes through trusting. Peace comes through thanksgiving. But peace, let me just say this in verse number 7, it's something that can't be explained. I dare you to try to explain to somebody the peace that you have in your heart. I mean, you can try to, Brother Steve, you can try to explain it to Sister Cindy, and even though she knows, and she can try to explain it to you, even though you know, you still can't explain it. You can't explain the peace of God. It's unexplainable. It's undescribable, amen. It's just something when you have it, thank God Almighty, you know you have it, amen. Yeah, peace that passes, the Bible said, all understanding. Watch this. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. See, the world's peace is in the stock market. The world's peace is in their possessions. The world's peace is in their measure of health. The world's peace is in their bills being paid, in a good job. I thank God for all of those things. But honey, that's not, listen, if that was your license to rejoice in the Lord always, then there'd be some times we couldn't rejoice. I'll tell you this. The Word of God said it's my peace. Jesus said it's my peace that I give unto you. Not like the world giveth. I'm going to read something in a moment I believe will be a blessing to your heart. Listen, it cannot be explained. The Bible said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things. Because it produces a peace that passes all understanding. And then there's a peace that comes through His presence. The Bible said here in verse number 9, it said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Let me say something. Listen to me carefully. When a person gets saved, God said He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. He's there. But you say, preacher, there are times when I just don't sense His presence. I just don't know if He's there. There's just times it seems like God is a million miles away. Now I'm speaking from experience. I'm not preaching to you. But most of the time when it's that way in my life, I can go back to a verse like this and find something that I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing. Help me this morning. Or something that I'm not supposed to be doing that I'm doing. Somebody help me this morning. Paul said, the things you've learned from me, the things you've seen in me, do them. And the God of peace will be with you. It's one thing, my friend, to have peace with God. That happens at Calvary. It's another thing to have the peace of God. That comes from walking with God and obeying the Lord and listening to the Lord in your life. Amen. Listen to what D.L. Moody said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Listen to this. This will bless your heart. Did you ever think that when Christ was dying on the cross, He made a will? Never thought about it like this, but I want you to think with Him. Perhaps you have thought that no one ever remembered you in a will. If you are in the kingdom of Christ, Christ remembered you in His will. He willed His body to Joseph of Arimathea. He willed His mother to John. And He willed His spirit back to the Father. But to His disciples He said, my peace I leave with you. That's my legacy. My joy, I give that to you. My joy, think of it. My peace, not our peace, but His peace. Now listen to this. Man, I about shouted this morning when I heard this, when I read this. They say that a man cannot make a will right now in this generation that lawyers cannot break and drive a four-in hand right straight through it. I will challenge them to break Christ's will. Let them try it. No judge or jury can set his will aside. Christ rose from the grave to execute his own will. If he had left us a pot of gold or a lot of gold, thieves would have stolen it in the first century. But he left us his peace and his joy for every believer. And now no power on earth can take it away. I say, thank God he didn't leave us a chunk of gold. Thank God he left us peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. It's a tall order because of his people, because of his promise, because of his peace. And then lastly, we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Because of his provision. I just took it in the order that it came in the chapter. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 10. In verse number 10, Paul said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. See, Paul, I like preachers that don't try to tell people to do something that they're not willing to do themselves. I've said through the years preaching, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that's trying to feed people something that he's not willing to eat himself. More times than not, when I'm studying this precious old book, Brother Thurman, God knocks me out of the chair to my knees before I can come here and preach what he's given to me. I'm telling you, the Word of God is not just for the pew. It's for the pulpit as well. We need the Lord. Listen what the Bible said. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. What a rejoice because of his provision. You say, preacher, I don't see God's provision. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible teaches us that Jesus cares for you and I. But let me tell you something. It goes further than that. Remember a while ago I talked about the family, about the people of God? Honey, God knew what he was doing when he formed the church. God knew what he was saying when he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. God knew what he was saying. But he said, exhorting one another. God knew what we needed. The provision. There's two things I see here. Number one, I see that God's people cared. Let me tell you this. God's people care. You say, well, preacher, I don't care. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you can say that out loud, I'll say something out loud to you. Then you just need to get to know Jesus. Because when you come to know Jesus, you will care. He'll put a love in your heart for the saints. He'll put a love in your heart for the scripture. He'll put a love in your heart for sinners. I'll tell you, he'll put a love in your heart and you'll care when you meet the Lord. God's people cared. Paul said, I'm rejoicing in that. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished. What's it? Look at that word. Again. A lot of people might do something and say, well, I got that over with. I'm relieved of my responsibility. I'm going to tell you something. I figure one day I'll be relieved of my responsibility. That's when I breathe my last breath and breathe my first breath in glory. Until then, I thank God I have, my friend, the ability and the desire to care. The Word of God said here in that provision, God's people cared. Watch this now. Look at verse number 11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. That's an important phrase. When Paul said, I have learned, that tells you something that wasn't just an automatic. It was something that in his life, in the life lessons, he learned. In whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content. I used to say that jokingly when one week I would be in Florida and the next week I'd be in Missouri. The next week I'd be in Louisiana. The next week I'd be in Tennessee. The next week I'd be in Pennsylvania. All over the place preaching the gospel. And I used to say, well, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. But that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about life. Life has some highs. Blessed be the Lord. One of you youngins gets saved. What a blessing that is. A spouse gets saved, or a brother or sister gets saved. What a blessing that is. Life has some highs. You get a good job, a better job, a promotion on the job. Somebody makes something right with you, and you, the fellowship is, man, there are highs in life. But how many know this? There are lows in life. You know what Paul says? I want you rejoicing up here. I want you rejoicing down here. Tell me something. What did not change from up here to down here? Somebody tell me, what did not change? The Lord. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Always. If you're on the mountain, the side of the mountain, the valley, headed up the mountain, it doesn't matter where we are. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Because I found out something. Sometimes we don't sense His presence. I'm going to say this for me, not for you, but sometimes I don't think I appreciate His presence as much. But how do you let the bottom fall out? You say, preacher, what about those valleys? Well, that's where the lily grows. That's where the soil is the most fertile. That's where I've learned more about Him and about me in that valley than I ever learned. And what Paul is saying is, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Maybe I'm on top of the mountain. Maybe I'm up before a congregation of people preaching the blessed word of God, giving them that dynamite, Brother Brian, like you did us this morning, giving them that gospel. Maybe I'm up there preaching, and blessed be God, it don't get no better than this. But maybe I'm tied to a post. And maybe there's some Roman soldier whooping me and beating me to a pulp. Maybe I'm down in some dark dungeon. I've been in them in Jerusalem where the rings that they put their hands through and locked them up were actually carved out in the rock. And they said many times the sewer in the city was running right through at the feet where the prisoners were standing. But I'll tell you what Paul is saying. If I'm up preaching, God's people joining. God's people are, my friend, growing. Sinners are getting saved. He said, I'm content with that. But if I'm down there in that dungeon and I'm locked up, if I'm being beaten, if I've been let down out of the city, if I've been, my friend, left for dead, it doesn't matter. Whatever state I'm in, there I'm content. Because there's somebody with me. I have somebody with me. Share my heavy load. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Water, rejoice. He said in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both how to be full and how to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. One thing, Brother Ralph, to get up and sing the song, Jesus Christ is all to me, all I need, all I need. It's another thing to believe it and to rejoice in that truth. Thank the Lord this morning. Somebody said, if you want to feel rich, just start meditating and counting all the things that you have that money can't buy. Some people think money can buy a good wife. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can buy a good wife. A good wife is a gift from God. Somebody help me right there. Somebody said, well, you can buy happiness. No, you can buy things. But some of the most miserable men in this world have more than anybody else because they don't know Jesus. Money can't buy a lot of things. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus can help us to rejoice. Though we may be lacking in some things of this world, God's people are headed to a world where we'll never lack anything. Brother Brian was telling me, I think yesterday, that the temperature is 88 in Houston. Is that what you told me, brother? 82? Well, that's getting closer to what I call just right. 78 to 80, I could take that all year round. You say, what's the temperature going to be in glory? Don't know. But I do know this. It'll be just right. It'll be just right. It'll be just right. It'll be just right. I said it'll be just right. What's the food going to be like in glory? I don't know. One of my favorite songs is when the rolls are served up yonder, I'll be there. But I do believe they'll be just right. That day when them fishermen come in on the shore and Jesus already had some fish and some bread cooking. He said, what was it like? I'll tell you what it was like. It was just right. That fish was just right. Jesus didn't touch anything that wasn't just right. Amen? Perfect. Perfect. Because the perfect Savior. One day you and I think about this. That are so imperfect now. We'll be perfect. We'll be just like Jesus. You know, I can rejoice in that this morning. I can rejoice. How many believes it's a tall order to rejoice in the Lord always? How many believes that Paul or the Word of God, Jesus, wouldn't have told us to do it if he didn't want us to do it and if he didn't give us the ability to do it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Thank God this morning for the Word of God, for the peace that passes all understanding. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for this precious old book. Lord, I thank you that you've instructed us in the Word of God, Lord, to rejoice evermore, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It could be this morning, our Father, if there's someone here today that has never known peace with God, Lord, when we are lost, we're at enmity with God. But Lord, thank God through the blood of your Son, through Calvary's cross, we can have peace through the blood of that cross. Father, this morning, I pray for those that are lost. I pray for the children of God. I pray, God, that there would be such a peace that you would flood us, our Father, with your peace. A peace the world knows nothing about. A peace that passes all understanding. Lord, what we need in this generation is not gold. We need God. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.